The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And this is one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit, well, it's cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. From our lesson from Romans this morning, we hear these wonderful words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As God's faithful and generous people, you and I are stewards of hope and blessing, which you and I are also called to share liberally with others. Blessing and hope. These two words weave a unifying thread through the lessons for this second Sunday of Advent. And yes, there are a couple of discomforting and unusual images, including John the Baptist, "You brood of vipers." I love that expression, "You brood of vipers." But there's much more of a spirit of anticipation for a brand new world, for a new way, and a Messiah to lead into that promised kingdom. What a blessing indeed. Will it be easy, this new way? No, of course not. But is anything that is truly significant ever without cost? Will it be better? Will it be worth the effort? Absolutely. So this morning, we're going to go for a walk, a short one, I promise you, through all of our lessons, because it's really unusual for all the lessons to be so woven together. There's usually one that just, we look at it and we think, why in the world is that part of the lectionary? But let's take a peek today. So Isaiah, the focus of Edward Hicks' beautiful paintings, many, many, many beautiful paintings of the peaceable kingdom. He was a Quaker preacher in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And then, of course, "Comfort, Comfort My People" from Handel's Messiah. And we're going to be singing that as the sermon hymn. So, Isaiah, this is such a very beautiful passage, and it's directed to people who are in very short supply of hope, and they have been traumatized by the complete upheaval of their lives. Yes, the tree and its lineage may have been cut down, but there is hope in the form of a shoot and new life. You know, when the gardeners trim our bushes or our trees, they sometimes look so very bare, and we wonder, can any new life come from those, from there? And what happens in the spring? We have new life. I love the description of the leader in the prophet, from the prophet Isaiah. And I'm going to encourage you to take these lessons home this week and study them and pray in your devotional time. Use these passages from Romans and Isaiah and John for your devotions and read what Isaiah talks about as for a new leader. Obviously, we're talking about the coming of the Messiah. But you know what? We're looking for a new leader for St. Matt's. Read the description of what the new leader will be. What do we expect from Jesus Christ? What do we continue to learn from Jesus? Might you and I envision a future where this vast chasm that seems to polarize us and separate us and isolate us, might it be destroyed? In its place, can we see a welcome table where all feel safe to pull up a chair and celebrate? There's a lot of stuff in that Isaiah passage. And then the passage from Romans, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And Paul is making a case that salvation in Christ is for both Jews and Gentiles. That was something new. He is also encouraging the Jewish Christ followers to fully welcome and accept everyone into the community. Verse 12 offers a connection to our Old Testament lesson. The section concludes with a very beautiful blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful it would be this Advent season to focus on welcome and acceptance for those who are not present in our congregation, for those who are missing from our pews. And then, what about the refugees? What about those who live in poverty, who are experiencing homelessness? What about people who live on the margins in various ways? What might it look like to truly extend this blessing, this prayer, to all the people that you and I encounter each day? And then Matthew. Well, you gotta love John the Baptist. I certainly don't like his diet, but that's okay. Talk about somebody who is true to his principles and his beliefs. John walks the walk and talks the talk. Granted, he's not much of a people pleaser or a respecter of the current religious leadership. John has a job to do, and he does it well. The Greek word for in one of our verses, which is very hard to pronounce, is usually translated as repent. But it might also be understood as reform. However we want to translate it, it's a radical turning and reordering of one's life. I think you and I tend to look at repentance and reformation as individual work. But in this case, it's very appropriate to see it collectively, thanks to the plural use of the word that we see in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm wondering, what kind of collective reforming do we need? What kind of turning around do we need as a church, as a community, as a nation? In verse 9, John says, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our ancestor." What would John say to us today if we said, "Well, we have Martin Luther as our ancestor"? Might it be something like this? "Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have more than two centuries of church tradition on our side," or "we've been saved, we're on the inside," or "Jesus is our co-pilot." You get the picture? What kind of fruits are we bearing as a result of our repentance and our reformation? How do we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus? And finally, what are the rivers where people gather together today for radical reformation? So the good news, as we ponder through these lessons today, and it can sound an awful bit lot like law, is that we find our hope in our baptismal promises, in the waters of baptism, where the waters were washed over us and we were marked with the cross of Christ forever. It's not just a certificate to stuff into a drawer and say, "Oh, I've been baptized." You and I die daily to sin, and we rise to new life. We are works in progress, and Jesus is working on each one of us, equipping us, encouraging us, and engaging us in radical reformation. How will we respond to this good news? How might it change the lens through which we anticipate Christmas, and indeed every day of the rest of our lives? What needs to change in our community for us to better resemble Christ's body in our context? It was marvelous being in the parade yesterday, not just because I got to ride in a convertible, but because, believe it or not, we were the only church in the parade, proclaiming the good news of Jesus through tons of candy that we passed out, and our smiles, and the people waving at us and saying Merry Christmas, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, whose birth we are going to be celebrating this Christmas again. So on this second Sunday of Advent, as we take in this tiny walk through the lessons that have been assigned for today, we hear a whole variety of themes. But most importantly, the whole concept of being blessed and full of hope, and being a blessing and hope for one another. That is the blessing that we receive in our baptisms. Amen.